Good evening. Thank you for coming out on this hot evening. You know, it was so hot today that in my job, I'm driving the truck, and a lot of times we head over to Winston for see job sites or to take some stuff to a job site or to go to one of the supply houses over there. And heading to Winston, I always pass by that RV store that's located there at Sandy Ridge Road. You know, out in front of that RV store, there's two blow-up guys. And you know, normally, they're just going all over the place, you know, just happy as they could be. Today, I passed it, and one of them did this, and the one next to him did that. And I thought, man, it must be hot if even the blow-up guys don't want to work. Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. Before I came over here tonight, I had some of a piece of cake that Brenda got over at Maxie B's. And it's a double chocolate cake that's called All-American Cake. And I didn't ever know that you could be patriotic by eating chocolate cake. But apparently you can now. 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll be reading verses 13 through 17. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Tomorrow is July the 4th, and is it a very important day for us? We celebrate it because of July the 4th, 1776. That was the day that the Declaration of Independence was actually ratified by the Continental Congress. The signing of the Declaration of Independence took a few weeks after that to complete. I have a copy of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution in booklet form, and I read over the Declaration again. I went over it particularly. And the Declaration of Independence lists 18 grievances against the King of Great Britain, King George III. One of the grievances has 9 subparts to it, and there's one final summation grievance against King George in which he is declared to be a tyrant, quote, unfit to be ruler of a free people, end quote. There's a single final grievance against the British people. And yet, as I reviewed those grievances, I did not see in there any grievance where the king or the British people required that we not obey God or serve him, that we do not believe in Jesus Christ as both Lord and Christ. I did not see a grievance in there where the king requires or demands that we worship some other god besides the one true God. And this leads me to something that I've been considering over the last few years. In light of the verses that we have just read here in 1 Peter, and considering that we are children of God and servants of Jesus Christ, what would we have done had we lived during the colonial period leading up to and including the Revolution? In obedience to God's word, as we have here in these verses, how could we have rebelled against King George? Indeed, the verses that we have just read require that we should retain our loyalty to the king and obey his laws. I wonder, and I think no doubt there must have been Christians, true Christians, in the colonies at that time, which in obedience to the word of God, or sought to be obedient to the word of God, how they might have struggled with these same kind of issues. I know that I have told some of you at least some of this story, so please bear with me if I repeat it to you. Brenda and I like to go to Williamsburg every once in a while. And while we're in Williamsburg, as I've said before, the characters that you meet, the founding fathers, the characters representing the founding fathers, are always in character. If you talk to them, it's as you're talking to somebody, as talking to that person who lived in that part of history. You don't go up to George Washington and tell him, hey, what do you think about the game last night? You don't go up to Thomas Jefferson and say, what do you think about President Trump? These people are always in character. And in the different biographies that I've read of our founding fathers and other books about that particular period of history, there's one of our founding fathers that I believe was a true Christian. And I come to that conclusion based on something that his wife said about him. That person was Patrick Henry. And Ms. Henry said about him that he trusts in the efficacy of the bleeding Savior. You think, well, that's a weird way of saying something, but I take that as an 18th century way of saying two things. One is that he trusted in the Lord Jesus as his Savior, and number two, that he trusted in the blood of Jesus Christ as the satisfactory payment for his sins. And yet, Patrick Henry was a founding father who agreed with rebellion against King George. On March 23, 1775, he gave the speech for which he is most well known for, and it ends in these words, "Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the life of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I don't know what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Once when Brenda and I were in Williamsburg, we had the opportunity to go to a program put on by Mr. Henry. And when he was through, he opened up the floor to questions, and I asked him the question, how would he justify rebellion against the king when the scriptures say, fear God, honor the king? How do you honor the king by rebelling against him? Mr. Henry replied, as I thought he would, with saying, if he is a good king. In other words, honor the king if he is a good king. Now you can take your Bible and you can turn it this way and that way and that way, any which way you want to, and you're not going to find that line in there. Indeed, when Peter wrote 1 Peter, it was during the period that he lived that the Roman Empire was the major empire of the world. And who was the Roman emperor at the time that he wrote 1 Peter? Yes, sir. Nero. Now, Nero was a true enemy of Christianity and Christians. Under Nero was the first state-sponsored persecution of the Christians. Besides outright murdering Christians, he would murder them for sport. He was known to have Christians taken and sewn up in animal skins and turn packs of dogs loose on them. This is a hard one. He was known to crucify Christians, coat them in something like either tar or wax, depending on the source that you get the information from, and light them on fire to provide light for his parties. It was during the reign of Nero that both Peter and Paul were martyred. And so when you go back through the Declaration of Independence and you read these grievances against King George was like little Bo Peep compared to Nero. Had we been alive during the period leading up to and including the Revolution, and we, in obedience to the Word of God, in particular to this section before us tonight, had decided to remain loyal to the king and to obey his laws, we would have been considered to be loyalists or Tories. Loyalists and Tories were persecuted and harassed for their loyalty to the king. Some were tarred and feathered. Some were ridden around on a rail. They had their properties taken away from them. And after the Revolutionary War was over, many of them left the country completely, some to Great Britain, some to Canada, some to Florida, some to the British West Indies. And yet those who stayed were continued to be harassed until finally they were reabsorbed into society. I believe we like to think of ourselves, I know at least I do, as patriots. We would have rebelled against Great Britain in order to help establish a new government to create a country by the will and blessing of God unlike no other country on earth. And that's the historic, heroic version that we all believe in. Sometimes we like to say that we won the revolution because it was God's will that we start this country and rebel against the king. But you know, sometimes when we interpret what God's will is, we interpret it in the way that we want it to be. If you go to the Library of Congress website, you will find that in the colonies, and this is what I got from it, religion played a major role in the American Revolution by offering a moral sanction for opposition to the British, assuring the average American that revolution was justified in the sight of God. There was a well-known preacher in colonial America. His name was Jonathan Mayhew, and he was a proponent of the idea that civil and religious liberty were ordained by God. He asserted that resistance to a tyrant was a, quote, glorious, end quote, Christian duty. There was another colonial preacher. His name was Abraham, and I hope I get this last name right, Cateltus. He celebrated the American effort as, quote, the cause of pure and undefiled religion against bigotry, superstition, and human intervention. In short, it is the cause of heaven against hell, of the kind parent of the universe against the prince of darkness and the destroyer of the human race. However, in the verses that we have read, we have to take from that it is not God's will for Christians to rebel against the government and take up arms against it. In those verses that we read, we are directed to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man. The Greek word for submit means to obey, be under obedience to, subdue unto, to make subject to. Now, however, from the clear teaching of Scripture, we know that if the ordinance is against God or His Word, then we're to obey God and His Word. And we see this evidence in Scripture. We see this in the life of Joshua. He says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We see it in the life of Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, commonly known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We also see it in the early church, when the Jewish religious leaders commanded the early Christians not to preach or teach anymore in the name of Jesus. It says over in Acts 4:19 that Peter and John responded, "Whether it's right in the sight of God to obey you rather than God, you be the judge." When the early Christians were persecuted for their faith, when the early Christians were persecuted for obedience to the person and word of God, nowhere do we find that they carried out rebellion and military action against the government. Where we read, "honor the king," that Greek word honor means to prize, to revere, to value. Certainly we don't honor the king or our president in our case. We don't prize, revere, and value him by speaking evil of him, fomenting rebellion and military action against him. We see in these verses also that these verses particularly note that obedience to the government and honoring our leader is in direct obedience to the Lord. It is for the Lord's sake, as we see in verse 13, and it is the Lord's will in verse 15. In verse 16, we also see that we are as free. And that Greek word means unrestrained, to go about as a citizen and not a slave, exempt from obligation or liability. Only we're not to use our liberty, and that word liberty is from the same word as free. Though we are free, we are not to use our liberty, the freedom that we have, as a cloak. That Greek word means a covering or a pretext for maliciousness. That word maliciousness in the Greek is a strong word. It means badness, depravity, trouble, evil, wickedness. Scriptures tell us that we are to behave ourselves as servants to God. And this isn't some paid hired hand that can do what he wants to. This word for servant in there is the word slave or bondservant. While we are at free and at liberty in the one sense, we are slaves, bondservants to God, though. And what do slaves and bondservants do? They obey the will of their Lord. While we have the freedom to speak evil and disrespect our leaders in this country, we are not to give in to that. Our obedience to God and His Word requires our submission to our laws and honor for our leader. But you say, and I agree with you with this, I have the right of free speech in this country. I can talk about the government, our president, our leaders, any which way I want. And that's absolutely right. You are granted that right under Article 1 of the Bill of Rights of the Constitution. You are granted the right of free speech. But something that I've learned, and I am slow on the uptake a lot of times, and it takes me a while to grasp things, but one thing that I've learned is that just because you have the right to do something doesn't make it the right thing to do. In addition to being witnesses by our testimony of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can be witnesses for our Lord and Christ by the way we act as citizens of this country. As we obey the laws of the land and we respect and honor our leaders, we're going to be different from a lot of people. When we think of the division that's in this country, of the hatefulness and the meanness, the maliciousness that's in this country right now, and how people are speaking about the president and other leaders in the way that they are, and in a sense rebelling against the government, how much more of a testimony should we be as Christians that when that happens, and when people around us are doing that and acting that way, that's not the way we respond. We respond in honor to our leader. We respond in obedience to the laws of this land. However, when those laws are in conflict with the Word of God and the person of God, then we obey God. But in any sense, we obey God. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come before you this evening, Father, we do thank you and praise you for what you have given us in this land. We thank you for the freedoms that you have blessed us with, Father. But Father, we pray as your servants, as your slaves and bondservants, that we will honor you with the way we act as citizens of this country, that we may honor and glorify you, and that your name may be honored and glorified when people see how we react to what's going on in the country and what's going on with our leaders. Father, help us to stand strong and true for your word and in obedience to your word that we've read this evening. We commit this evening into your hand. We commit this holiday into your hand to your honor and glory as well. In Christ's name, for his sake, amen.